Historian Juan Cole supports Obama's effort to engage Iran. Cole's a prominent blogger on Middle Eastern issues, and he's written a book called Engaging the Muslim World. He told Steve Paulson that Obama has good reasons for reaching out to Iran.
I think that the Obama administration desperately needs to bring Iran in from the cold. Getting out of Iraq cleanly and succeeding in Afghanistan both depend heavily on better relations between the United States and Iran.
Why? Why does the United States need Iran so much?
Iran is enormously influential with the Iraqi Shiites. And in order for the U.S. to get out of Iraq, it needs the Shiite South to be quiet. It needs a reconciliation process between Sunnis and Shiites in Iraq. It needs reconciliation between the Arabs and the Kurds. And the Iranians are influential with the Shiites. They're influential with the Kurds. They can lubricate the reconciliation process if they choose. They can also play the spoiler if they choose. So for things to go well in Iraq for the Obama administration requires that they be on the same page with the Iranians.
Does the U.S. need Iran more than Iran needs the U.S.?
I would say that there are important trade-offs on each side, that there's a lot to gain on both sides. With regard to Afghanistan, sure, NATO and the U.S. have a real logistical problem in Afghanistan. It's how to resupply the some 70,000 troops that they now have there. And they're sending in more. The supply route had been largely the Pakistani port of Karachi up through the Khyber Pass into Afghanistan. But that route is increasingly blocked by the Pakistani Taliban. The Kyrgyzstan airport was being used for some resupply. That's now been closed to the U.S. for military purposes. There are only really two other possible routes into Afghanistan, which is a landlocked country. One is, you know, you could offload in Lithuania and transship the goods by rail down to Uzbekistan and thence to Afghanistan, in which case you become very much beholden to Putin and the Russians. And the other possibility is to go through Iran, which I think some of the European NATO countries are thinking seriously about.
That's hard to believe, though, that Iran would ever allow U.S. troops to pass through its territory.
Yeah, it's not troops that...
Okay, even American supplies to fight an American war.
Well, if it's configured as an American war, sure. But it should be remembered that Iran is very threatened by the Taliban and would not want the Taliban to be resurgent in an important way in Afghanistan. In fact, in 1998, Iran and the Taliban almost went to war with one another because the Taliban killed a number of Iranian agents in the northern city of Mazar-e-Sharif. So if you configured it as, you know, a government in Kabul that's friendly to Iran, which the current one is, being threatened by an overthrow by very hardline anti-Shiite Sunnis who've engaged in massacres of Shiites, then who knows? The Iranians might be willing to play ball. The other thing is the U.S. and the U.N. now have very tight sanctions on Iran. From the American side, a company can't invest more than $20 million in Iran without attracting sanctions from the U.S. Department of Justice and risking being excluded from the U.S. market, which is among the biggest markets in the world. So it would be in Iran's benefit in a big way if it could get those sanctions lifted.
Is there talk among American leaders to lift those sanctions?
I think it depends on a number of factors. If Iran could be induced to suspend its nuclear enrichment program, I'd make a grand bargain. I'd say, look, you know, there are only two reasons for having a nuclear enrichment program. One is for energy, that they want the reactors. The other is so that they could be very near, at least, to assembling a bomb for self-protection. If the issue is self-protection, then why not give them an international guarantee backed by Russia, China, the UN, and so forth, that the regime won't be overthrown by a covert ops or by an invasion, and get rid of this congressional program we now have, which dedicates some $70 million a year to overthrowing the Iranian government. That is to say, if the problem is security, so guarantee them their security. If the problem is energy, well, they'd be much better off letting the international energy majors in to develop their natural gas, of which they have possibly 750 trillion cubic feet. I mean, they're probably one of the largest natural gas reserves in the world. And that can't be developed as long as these sanctions are on. So I think it would be possible to trade horses with them. And of course, the other key to this would be some progress on the Arab-Israeli peace process and some feeling on Iran's part that it can at least have a cold peace with Israel.
Now, there is another factor. Iran's president, Ahmadinejad, who has a penchant for saying outrageous things, and pretty much everyone in the United States hates him, at least on the political level. How big an obstacle is he?
Ahmadinejad is largely irrelevant in my view. You know, the Iranian president is simply not very powerful. He's like the old pre-Cheney U.S. vice presidents. The commander-in-chief of the armed forces, the head of the intelligence, the person who makes the important decisions is Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. It is, after all, a theocracy, as we keep saying, and Ahmadinejad is not a cleric. He's a civil engineer, actually.
Do you think this hostile relationship between Iran and the United States, really for the last 30 years, has that mainly served the interests of hardliners in both countries?
Sure. I mean, politics is partly about demonizing foreign enemies, and the Iranian elite clearly uses anti-Americanism for its purposes, although, you know, it is a coin of diminishing value in Iran. Opinion polling, all of the indications are that the Iranian public really likes the United States. And so it's a relatively small sector of the public that responds favorably to America bashing anymore. And I think it is also a diminishing coin in the United States where, you know, surely we have bigger problems in the world than Iran.
But you do suggest in your book that Americans, and we're not just talking about politicians, but Americans in general need to overcome what you call Islam anxiety.
Yes, I really think that the problem is a matter of exaggeration. And I have no brief for Islamic fundamentalism. In fact, I've had guns pointed at me by Muslim fundamentalists, and I don't like it. Nevertheless, I think we have to understand exactly what it is. And there's a difference between terrorism and political Islam. And most of the politics that goes on in Iran nowadays is nonviolent. It's not a matter of terrorism or blowing things up. To that extent, I think we have to be fair in our judgment of the system. For instance, the presidential elections are skewed because there's a vetting process. Not everybody can run for president. Women can't run, and people who are too liberal can't run, and so forth. But once the candidates are vetted, that they're loyal to the regime, then all bets are off, and surprises often happen. So that indicates to me that it's a fairly free and open process.
You're really suggesting that this is a remarkable moment, a historical opportunity to repair relations between the U.S. and Iran. I mean, there's an opening, especially with President Obama now in office. And let's just speculate for a moment. Suppose they could repair this relationship. Suppose American sanctions were lifted against Iran and they were, you know, more or less allies. How would that change the situation in the Middle East?
Oh, it would change everything. It would make the situation in the Middle East much better. I mean, there is a kind of Cold War between some of the Arab states like Egypt and Jordan, to some extent Saudi Arabia on the one side and Iran on the other, in part because Iran, we don't think about it this way, but Iran is a republic, and it's hostile to monarchy, and it is also a revolutionary republic. So it is viewed, you know, by the rest of the Middle East often in a way similar to the way the crowned heads of Europe viewed the French Revolution, as dangerous and endangering to their regimes.
It's kind of ironic to think of Iran as kind of the democratic alternative to these various,
yes,
American allies.
It is, though. I mean, if you compare Iran to Saudi Arabia, I want to tell you there's no elected president in Saudi Arabia. So, in fact, Khomeini, the leader of the Iranian Revolution in 1979, said there's no place for monarchy in Islam. And the Gulf monarchies, the Sunni monarchies, Morocco and Jordan and Saudi Arabia, are very fearful that this idea of Islamic republicanism will jump over from Shiite Islam to Sunni Islam and endanger their crowned heads.
Juan Cole is a historian at the University of Michigan and the author of the book Engaging the Muslim World. He spoke with Steve Paulson.